Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, and today we're taking a look at the minor prophets of the Old Testament and asking God to speak to us through His Word. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to Day 76 of the Minor Prophets. Today we are continuing our study of Zechariah with a devotion titled, Sold for the Price of a Slave. Someone once pointed out that the prophecy of Judas Iscariot's betrayal of Jesus for 30 pieces of silver is one of the most striking examples of precision in biblical prophecy. Our text today is from Zechariah chapters 11 and 12, and I will be reading from the New Living Translation. Open your doors, Lebanon, so that fire may devour your cedar forests. Weep, you cypress trees, for all the ruined cedars, the most majestic ones have fallen. Weep, you oaks of Bashan, for the thick forests have been cut down. Listen to the wailing of the shepherds, for their rich pastures are destroyed. Hear the young lions roaring, for their thickets in the Jordan Valley are ruined. This is what the Lord my God says. Go and care for the flock that is intended for slaughter. The buyers slaughter their sheep without remorse. The sellers say, praise the Lord, now I'm rich. Even the shepherds have no compassion for them. Likewise, I will no longer have pity on the people of the land, says the Lord. I will let them fall into each other's hands and into the hands of their king. They will turn the land into a wilderness, and I will not rescue them. So I cared for the flock intended for slaughter, the flock that was oppressed. Then I took two shepherd staffs and named one Favor and the other Union. I got rid of their three evil shepherds in a single month, but I became impatient with these sheep, and they hated me too. So I told them, I won't be your shepherd any longer. If you die, you die. If you are killed, you are killed. And let those who remain devour each other. Then I took my staff called Favor and cut it in two, showing that I had revoked the covenant that I had made with all the nations. That was the end of my covenant with them. The suffering flock was watching me, and they knew that the Lord was speaking through my actions. And I said to them, if you like, give me my wages, whatever I'm worth, but only if you want to. So they counted out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, this magnificent sum at which they valued me. So I took the 30 coins and threw them to the potter in the temple of the Lord. Then I took my other staff, Union, and cut it in two, showing that the bond of unity between Judah and Israel was broken. Then the Lord said to me, go again and play the part of a worthless shepherd. This illustrates how I will give this nation a shepherd who will not care for those who are dying, nor look after the young, nor heal the injured, nor feed the healthy. Instead, this shepherd will eat the meat of the fattest sheep and tear off their hooves. What sorrow awaits this worthless shepherd who abandons the flock? The sword will cut his arm and pierce his right eye. His arm will become useless, and his right eye completely blind. This message concerning the fate of Israel came from the Lord. This message is from the Lord who stretched out the heavens, laid the foundations of the earth, and formed the human spirit. I will make Jerusalem like an intoxicating drink that makes the nearby nations stagger when they send their armies to besiege Jerusalem and Judah. On that day, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock. All the nations will gather against it to try to move it, but they will only hurt themselves. On that day, says the Lord, I will cause every horse to panic and every rider to lose his nerve. I will watch over the people of Judah, but I will blind all the horses of their enemies. And the clans of Judah will say to themselves, the people of Jerusalem have found strength in the Lord of heaven's armies, their God. On that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a flame that sets a woodpile ablaze, or like a burning torch among sheaves of grain. They will burn up all the neighboring nations, right and left, while the people living in Jerusalem remain secure. The Lord will give victory to the rest of Judah first, before Jerusalem, so that the people of Jerusalem and the royal line of David will not have greater honor than the rest of Judah. On that day, the Lord will defend the people of Jerusalem. The weakest among them will be as mighty as King David. And the royal descendants will be like God, like the angel of the Lord who goes before them. For on that day, I will begin to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Then I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the family of David and on the people of Jerusalem. They will look on me, whom they have pierced, and mourn for him as for an only son. They will grieve bitterly for him as for a firstborn son who has died. The sorrow and mourning in Jerusalem on that day will be like the great mourning for Hadad-Rimon in the valley of Megiddo. All Israel will mourn, each clan by itself, and with the husbands separate from their wives. The clan of David will mourn alone, as will the clan of Nathan, the clan of Levi, and the clan of Shammai. Each of the surviving clans from Judah will mourn separately and with the husbands separate from their wives. 500 years before Jesus' birth, the prophet Zechariah outlines the tragedy of Israel rejecting Jesus as the Messiah. Chapter 11 reveals the consequences of rejecting Christ. Verse 12 discloses the wages of what the world wrongly assumed the Messiah was worth, 30 pieces of silver. This was fulfilled in Matthew 26, verses 14 and 15, when Judas agreed on that same price to deliver Jesus over to the religious leaders. In Hebrew culture, 30 pieces of silver was a minimal amount of money. It was the exact price paid to the master of a slave if the slave was killed by somebody's ox. That's Exodus chapter 21, verse 32. The slave's replacement value was 30 pieces of silver. Scripture surrounding Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12 portrays Zechariah taking on the role of a shepherd who cared for a flock that was intended for slaughter. That's in verse 12. Thus, Zechariah 11 prophetically illustrates the judgment against Israel for crucifying Christ, the shepherd God sent to care for his people. This analogy is strengthened by Zechariah breaking two shepherd staffs. The first staff, favor, found in verse 10, symbolizes the breaking of the Mosaic covenant. Israel rejected God's favor by disobeying his covenant commands. The second staff, union, found in verse 14, represents the Romans breaking and scattering of the nation of Israel. Thus, Zechariah chapter 11 clearly prophesies what took place when Jesus was crucified. Zechariah chapter 12 contains more messianic prophecy as it speaks to the coming deliverance of Israel in verses 1 through 9, followed by future mourning for the one who will be pierced in verses 10 through 14. Notice that Zechariah explains, Israel will be attacked, by multiple nations. That's chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, verse 6, and also verse 9. The Lord will cause Israel's enemies to panic in verse 4, deliver his people victoriously in verse 7, and destroy all of Israel's enemies in verses 8 and 9. Zechariah chapter 12 closes by declaring that God will pour out his spirit of grace upon his people, and they will look upon their Savior who was pierced. That's verses 10 through 14. Amid varying present-day interpretations of this portion of Scripture, Peter Craigie gives this explanation. A part of the consequence of this portion of the apocalyptic vision is to create recognition in the reader that not only were the nations beyond the city wall drawn up in opposition to God, but even within the city, there was a failure to recognize the servant of God. There's a difference, though. The citizens come to recognize, in some manner, the terrible nature of their deed, and, in repentance, turn to God for forgiveness. Inevitably, these verses evoke, in the Christian reader of the book of Zechariah, the Passion narrative, with its description of the crucifixion of Jesus. Indeed, John quotes verse 10 in his description of the immediate aftermath of the death of Jesus in John chapter 19, verse 37. And the echoes of the scene continue to be heard in the book of Revelation. You can check out Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. In Christian theology, the death of Jesus Christ symbolizes human opposition to God, but more importantly, also serves as a bridge toward the restoration of relationship between mankind and God. Thus, from the perspective of this ancient apocalyptic vision, the crucifixion represents both the mounting chaos that precedes the coming of the kingdom of God, and also the possibility of a new peace of God beyond the chaos. Some questions to consider. In what ways does the rejection of Jesus, the Good Shepherd portrayed through Zechariah chapter 11, perfectly foreshadow what we read in the New Testament? What are your thoughts about Jesus being sold by Judas for the price of a slave? And finally, how does the mourning mentioned in Zechariah chapter 12 depict the proper attitude that we should have toward our sins and Jesus, who was pierced for our transgressions? Thank you for joining us. Have a great day.